Sold tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Finer than that at any time, anywhere. You know what bothers me, and I probably shouldn't say this publicly.
Probably not, Bill.
Well, I'll say it anyway. Listen, I don't have a problem with Janet not returning my phone calls. That hurts. That hurts. I mean, truly, that hurts.
Are you sure she had your number?
Well, I know she had my number, but what really bothers me is, I mean, you don't have to return my calls, but you could have left me tickets. You know what I'm saying?
And she's available now, too, right?
Well, I mean, we had is between me and her. I'm talking about now is, you know, the little respect to a brother. If you ain't going to return my phone call, just leave me some tickets so I can get in.
Well,
but
you know what? You're not by yourself. I'm sure there's other guys out there in the same situation.
No, there are not other guys out there in the same situation. Thank you very much. Now, hey, but look, transitioning back, you're listening to Urban Media Today, Soul Take Champions Live. Coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the best, the newest, the greatest conversation you'll ever have in sports talk. Bill Neal, Kevin Cameron coming to you live and in serious color. You know, wrapping up this conversation on the Super Bowl, Kev, just a couple things. Why wait until the second half to go to the beast, Gronkowski? The whole first half, I mean, certainly coverage has something to do with it, but
yeah,
it didn't seem to have anything to do with it in the second half. Why did Belichick not pull the trigger on Kronk early on?
Well, that was all part of what we talked about in the first segment, being out-coached. I mean, with a talent like Gronkowski, you want to make sure that he touches the ball. But it was really very similar to when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Gronk really didn't do much the first half, and they went to him the second half. So maybe it's one of those situations where they like to get their other players involved and they feel, hey, when we really need to get you involved, we'll go to you, you know. And I believe they were down 9 points at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it was a long halftime as well. Yeah. So they definitely had a whole lot of time to make the adjustments that they needed to make.
I mean, it's almost as if they intentionally don't go to him early on. Like they want to lull you to sleep or something. It's just kind of strange when that's your guy. And then clearly he's unstoppable. So,
he is.
I mean,
this
makes you wonder, oh, man, imagine. I mean, there's a lot of things you can wish for. But imagine him in black and gold uniform, man. That cat is something else.
Well, he's talking about retirement right now.
Love to hate him. Yeah, well, he's talking about that now. But, you know, Kraft will change his mind on one of them yacht trips, one of them outings. Get his mind changed real quick.
So given all that is going on with New England losing the Super Bowl and, you know, the chaos that happened leading up to the Super Bowl with the rumors that Brady and Belichick wasn't getting along and Kraft involved with that process as well. And Bill, you're the one that mentioned you believe that this is probably the downfall of the New England Patriots right now. Can you elaborate a little bit regarding that, you know, why you feel the way you do?
Now, I kind of dozed off on you there for a second. Every now and then, I try to tune you out. But seriously, what did I say?
You actually said you believe that this is the downfall.
The
crumbling of the empire.
Well, you know, the ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch is dead. Well, certainly, nothing lasts forever. Father Time is undefeated. You know, all those kinds of sayings come into play, but it looks as if, you know, from what I got from the Super Bowl in total, in hindsight, it looks as if Philly had it figured out. It looked like Philadelphia had it figured out that they knew how to beat New England. It didn't look like at any time they were confused or worried or bothered or rushed. They were gutsy. They made the right calls at the right time. My goodness, it's almost as if the Philadelphia Eagles stole the plays from the New England Patriots.
Don't say that,
I'm
Bill.
Just saying,
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it looked like the Philadelphia had it in check, and it looks as if maybe the king is dead.
They were just well prepared.
That's part of
what it was. Now, you know, given New England's situation moving forward, you know, one of the things you have to look at as well, they play in the AFC East. So given that they play in the AFC East, and I really don't see any of these other teams rising up, every year, realistically, they probably have an opportunity to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, but each year, as we've seen over at least the last 3 years, they become more and more vulnerable, more and more human, more and more beatable.
But they've been to the last three Super Bowls, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, but it's something that, you know, the dominance is just not quite the same. You know, Tyson was winning towards the end of his career, but not the same way, not the same ferociousness. I mean, everybody succumbs at some point, but let me just offer this. Even though Brady assures us that he's going to play another 3 or 4 years or until he's 45, let's remember another boxing analogy, if you will. Sometimes fighters get old in the middle of a fight. Sometimes fighters train, prep for a fight, get into the ring for the announcement, let's get ready to rumble, and in the fourth or fifth round, they lose their legs and it's done. Sometimes you don't know until you don't. So we don't know that Brady, even though Brady feels he can go another 3, 4, 5 years, we don't know that he can.
Well, New England better hope he can.
And if he doesn't.
With the trade of their backup quarterback that they made earlier in the year.
The demise of the New England Patriots might come to us sooner than we anticipate because Brady might not be able to be true to his word. But I did want to go back to something you made mention of, Kev. Talk about the importance of the fumble. Because that hasn't gotten a lot of conversation, but the fumble in the Super Bowl game.
And again, it was a Super Bowl game that was well played. The quarterbacks were well protected. And at the time that Philadelphia really needed their defense to make a stop, they made a stop. You know, so Graham actually did a very good job with getting to Brady and stripping the football. And, you know, I was just real curious of the replay because anytime something happens with New England, you can't take it for face value, if you know what I mean. So I wanted to make sure, it wasn't one of those tuck rule situations. So it was clearly a fumble, and it was a big part of the game.
You realize, of course, if they had called that touchdown back, they would still be burning stuff in Philadelphia.
Definitely.
I mean, I just knew they wasn't coming back and calling.
But how different was the touchdown to their tight end than the Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Jesse James? I mean, that's being argued right now as we speak as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, let's get on to matters of great importance here. Because we not only do we have two great minds in the studio, but we have three. So I want each of your best commercial. I mean, you can't do a Super Bowl without a commercial. So, Trevin, to you listeners out there across the United States.
And the world.
And the world. Your best commercial of the Super Bowl. And let me just offer this out the gate. Wasn't a whole lot to choose from, in my opinion.
Oh, that made it easy. It was the Tide commercial all the way because Tide was part of every commercial after Tide came on. So if I'm going to be king of commercials, I'm going to take on every commercial after me. That's what Tide did. So it was Tide.
But, I mean, in your opinion, you thought that was the most entertaining commercial.
I did because it kept you on your toes. Every time you turned around, like the commercial that Tide did where you had the guy with the, whether it's the Old English or the deodorant.
Old Spice.
Old Spice.
Yeah. Old Spice.
First
yeah.
You thought it was his commercial, and then the guy sitting on the back of the horse with him, and it's the Tide commercial. So, I mean, Tide took over. I thought Tide did a great job.
In the music industry, though, what do they call that?
What? Like a collaboration?
No, I know. A covering.
They were kind of biting off of.
They didn't bite. They stole.
But I believe in the background. Didn't you hear Old Spice in the background?
I did. Yeah. That's why you thought it was an Old Spice commercial.
So and it was then collaboration, came in and said,
huh? Yeah, well, probably had to be.
It would have to be.
It wasn't genius.
It wasn't a remake or a remix or anything?
No, they had to get Old Spice's permission, so it definitely was. I'm quite sure that Old Spice got a little bit of that money. But Tide, they took over every commercial.
What was your favorite commercial, Kev?
I would say probably Bud Light. The Bud Light commercial, you know, was pretty good. and I'll give it to them. And I think they actually called, you know, the one guy Butt Knight during the war.
Dilly Dilly.
And actually went in and got the commercial. Goods and brought it out. It was entertaining, though, right? It was entertaining.
How about the sign? This is the medieval days. There's a sign, ice, cold beer.
Exactly.
Refreshments on the outside of the
had
building.
Had to love it.
Like you
can
go in and buy it. But look, I know you don't want to say it, but I am comfortable with my manliness.
Okay.
So I can
That's
go here.
That's important to know.
That's important. Some people aren't, so I can go here. I thought Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, I thought that was hilarious. And not only was it hilarious, because it didn't start out
well,
funny.
Their football performance this year was hilarious.
But listen, I thought it took a lot of kahunas to go out there and do that dance together.
I guess.
And the funniest part to me was when Eli Manning was mimicking, I forget dude's name, and from Dirty Dancing, and down on his knees and doing the whole dance, man. I thought that was just – took a lot of guts to do it. They put themselves out there. So, to me, that was the fact. And, you know, they say nobody puts Odell in the corner.
So I guess since you brought it up, the Mannings, you know, are probably the best tandem in commercials.
Making a ton of money.
You know, given Peyton and Eli and all the endorsements that they're getting and commercials that they're making. So, you know, I guess the marketers, you know, really like them.
Before we leave football, well, I know we're going to transition.
Well, we're going to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But before we get to that, I just wanted to offer this little, tiny, unimportant, no longer relevant sidebar. Do either of you know the percentage of completing an onside kick? Don't look at my paper, kid. Don't be cheating.
No, if I knew that, Bill, my team probably wouldn't be any good.
Do you know, Trev, the percentage of completing an onside kick? What was your guess?
10% or less.
It's only a 20% chance that you can complete. This is the NFL statistical percentage.
Now, hold on, Bill. I thought I was the stats guy.
Well, every now and then I'll go in there.
Okay.
See, I don't live in my fears. Now and then I'll go in there, snatch out a stat. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So, yeah, it goes back to Tomlin.
How's it even relevant?
It's not relevant at all. I'm still ticked off about Tomlin kicking on side kick, and I wanted to find out what was the chances of you getting the ball back? And it's only – wouldn't you have thought it would be a little bit higher, though? I would have thought it would be like 40%.
No, I actually thought 20% is pretty good. Mm-hmm. One out of five, that's not bad.
Well, I'll tell you what's good. Two of the guys going into – well, I mean, it's a pretty good class to be sure. But talk about good. Two of the guys going into the NFL Hall of Fame this year are good. Terrell Owens going in, Randy Moss going in, and – you know, Randy Moss will be quick to tell you, just check the records. You'll see who the greatest in NFL history is. Now, he didn't say he was better than Jerry Rice. He simply said,
"You better not say that."
Yeah, just to check the records. I mean, the only way you can offer that, how great you are in any level of humility, and by not bringing down the great Jerry Rice, but to give yourself a sense of being second to him without admitting that you're number one is to do it in that manner. But your lineup for this year, Ray Lewis, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Brian Dawkins, Brian Urlacher, Bobby Bethard, Robert Brazil, talking about two old superstar cats, and Jerry Kramer. Well, all three of those guys were old school, Bethard, Brazil, and Kramer. Those are the kind of guys that played with no helmet and no shoes.
Waited a long time.
And with all their teeth is gone and all that, man. So, but that's one heck of a lineup, man. Now, you know, Fanica didn't get in. He did drop down from 15 to 10 in terms of being closer to getting there in the final cut. But what do you think about that lineup?
Hey, it's a great class, and, you know, one of the things I did notice as well, I noticed a couple things. Number one, T.O. Wasn't at the Super Bowl to participate in the Hall of Fame honors, And I was curious about that.
That's a good point.
Also, I was disappointed that, as you mentioned, Fanica did not make it. But I think in due time he will make it. And I also believe that Ty Law should have been part of that group as well. Now, they're only allowed, from what I understand, to pick five modern day players. So, you know, it's really tough competition to get in. You know, they put Ray Lewis in, as you indicated, and they put Brian Urlacher in as well. So you had two linebackers, and then you had two wide receivers, T.O. And Randy Moss. And who was the fifth? It was Brian Dawkins. I'm not sure if you mentioned Brian Dawkins.
Yeah, I did.
He made it as well. But, you know, Ty Law, I believe it's just a matter of time for my homeboy Ty Law as well. You know, he's sitting there, and when you take a look at his stats as well, his stats are very similar to Deion Sanders also, who's already in the Hall of Fame. But I was hoping Ty would have went in this year, but I guess we just have to wait a little longer before he gets in.
I'm drawing a little bit of a blank on some of the greatness of Urlacher. I know we heard his name a lot. We didn't see him a lot regionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see Faneca going in before Urlacher and thought that that might have been a better. But I agree with you that at some point Faneca will get in. Ty Law will definitely get in. You know, there's comments that Hines Ward may never get in.
Right.
And but, yeah.
Which I disagree with.
I disagree with, too. I think that, well, you know, the Stiller curse works against him.
Yes.
But I think his numbers and his achievements, well, his numbers are not anywhere near the likes of an Owens or a Moss.
Mm-hmm.
But his achievement, his game-changing game-changing way of playing the game, I think there's a lot of things in his favor. The MVP status of Super Bowls, I think eventually he gets in.
Also, when you mentioned Urlacher and you had a hard time really – you know, remembering a lot of his playing career. Is that what you said?
Well, the greatness of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he went to, or he was named first team All-Pro five times, I believe. He was the defensive rookie of the year in 2000 and also the defensive player of the year in 2005 as well. And yes, he was named to the All-Pro team five times. Five times is really a good number.
As was Faneca.
Was Faneca five times as well? Okay. So, again, I think it's just a matter of time for Faneca.
And it's tough for offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
It's traditionally tough for offensive linemen, and especially if you're not a center. If you're a guard, it's increasingly tough. But nonetheless, yeah, I agree with you. Sooner or later, he maybe next year.
Yeah. And then I think if you take a look at the total list that we went over, probably half of the individuals that will be going in kind of had a little baggage with them as well. So maybe the Hall of Fame is finally coming around, or the Hall of Fame committee is finally coming around to realizing it's about what you do on the field, because when it comes to T.O., he never really got into trouble. But, you know, he had that stigma as far as being a troubled player for the teams that he played for. And then you take a look at Randy Moss. He had his troubles in the past. And you take a look at Ray Lewis. He had his troubles in the past as well. So it's good to see that they're actually assessing the players based on their play on the field, which is refreshing.
Well, the hypocrisy of the NFL selection committee, I think, began to rear its ugly head. First of all, are you being inducted based on performance or personality? So this ain't a personality contest.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to like me. Just play me. And so Owens and Moss, each time they left the team, no matter how they left that team,
yes,
another team picked them up.
Right.
And another team picked them up for a reason. Because they could play, because they could produce. So if it's about personality. Hell, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, and a whole lot of cats wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Lord knows Jim Brown
would
be.
But that was a different day and time as well.
But if you're looking at personality, Jim Brown, as great as he was, Jim, we can't let you in because you're throwing women off balconies. So it's not a personality contest.
You're right.
And it's about performance. And Terrell Owens' numbers are off the chart. They need to be in. And Randy Moss, as great as Jerry Rice is, if I get a phone call that says Rice can't play today, Moss is in his place, I ain't batting an eyelash. Mm-hmm. Randy Moss was a bad boy. A freak of nature.
Randy Moss was a bad boy.
Freak of nature.
Now since we're talking
size,
about
size, speed, hands, for a man to be able to accelerate as quickly as he could at his height, freak of nature.
And, you know, since we're talking about Randy Moss, I just want to bring up, and this is kind of going a little off of what we're talking about, but I think is relevant. I just happened to bring up, I think it was ESPN or something online, and they actually talked about a list of the best players without a Super Bowl. And what made me cringe, you know, the main player that they showed was Antonio Brown. So, AB, if you're listening, I don't like to see you on that list. We need, you know, we need to take care of that. But Randy Moss never won a ring. Yeah. You know, he had an opportunity to win rings.
I thought he got one in New England.
No, they lost. That was the year they went 16-0 and ended up losing to the Giants.
Right. That's right. That's right. The miraculous catch by the Giants. Yeah, okay.
So I thought that was pretty interesting to see those players on that list. And like I said, hopefully next year AB will be removed along with Bell. And, you know, that should be another motivator for those great players to say, hey, you know, we need to get this done.
Well, to your point, it's being suggested that Le'Veon Bell's asking price of $50 million might be within the realm of possibility.
Right.
Thereby keeping him away from the
franchise. Well, you could pay him that, Bill.
Yeah, I could pay him no attention. Keep him away from the franchise tag. And if they lock in Bell, Ben said he's good for two more years. AB's healthy. One of the best offensive lines in the business. If they can shore up the holes on defense, then I expect to see the Steelers 13-3, 14-2, 12-4 back in the hunt again. And the
Steelers have a tough schedule
And they do have a tough schedule and less fearful. But you know what? You got to beat the best to be the best. So no matter how you look at it, no matter how you dress it or undress it, no matter how you color it, at the end of the day, you got, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And you ought not care about who's next. Yeah. Whoever's next, step up.
And now, just to go back to the world champions, Philly Eagles. Okay, first Super Bowl in history. So, you know, probably over the last 10, 15 years, it's been, you know, some of the same teams in the Super Bowl, some of the same teams winning the Super Bowl. Are we starting to see, do you think, you can't base anything on one game, but this might be the beginning maybe of teams that never won a Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl? You take a look at, some of the teams over in the NFC that should be contenders next year.
Are you talking about the parity that the NFL claimed it had 10 years ago?
That's what you want to call it.
That's what it was. Well, that was the bill of goods we were being sold, that parity is now in the NFL. So, yeah, I agree. And it's good, to be honest with you. I'm glad Philly won. I'm glad New England lost for a change. And this thing, they've almost lost as many as they've won. Shut up about that. They've been there 8 times, and that don't matter.
No, 9 times. They're actually 5-4.
They're 5-4, exactly.
So when people have the discussion, the greatest of all time, and they talk about Belichick, and they talk about Brady, I mean, they're 5-4 in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I'd rather be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every time we won. I think that's an impressive handle.
The Steelers are what, 6-6-2?
Talking about the one that gave away to Green Bay. I forgot about that.
Green Bay and Dallas as well.
Well, I forgot about the one that gave away to Dallas.
It's that CTE.
Convenient that I forgot about the two they gave away.
Okay.
Well, you know,
you're talking about the Chuck Noll era.
Well, I'm talking about Neil O'Donnell handing the ball to the defense, to the Dallas defensive backs on two separate occasions, clearly handing them the ball from 30 yards away, and we don't have that fumble against Green Bay. We win that one too. So,
and you know what, Bill? That's good memory loss, man.
It comes and goes.
You're supposed to forget stuff like that.
Every now and then I look across the table and forget who the heck you are. But look.
That's all right.
I expect the Pittsburgh Steelers, I expect the Black and Gold to be back in the hunt next year. And but you know what? That moment in time is a long way away.
Hey, Bill, did we get a damage assessment coming out of Philadelphia?
On property?
I mean, the way those fans were celebrating, I tell you what. You know, number one, I hope everyone ended up being safe, you know, no major injuries, but it looked like they really tore up a lot of stuff.
Well, I'll be kind and gentle and say I agree with you. Hope for the best. Not that I really care, but listen, props go out to my girl, Chanel Smith. She of the Philadelphia area, born and bred. By way of Duquesne University, where she attended and got her MBA while in Pittsburgh, heading up my modeling group, the Fabulous Sensation Models, and going on from there to become Miss Tri-State, Miss Washington,
Is she going to be in, or, I mean?
Well, I'm just throwing props out to her because her Philadelphia Eagles won, and she blew up my phone. So since we're international, I'm sure she will get this message that I'm throwing props her way for her Philadelphia Eagles to finally win a Super Bowl. And I'm going to go on record and say this. They don't win next year.
Really?
You know, that second year.
They have just about everybody coming
back.
That
second year Super Bowl was hard to get back. It's hard to get back there, man. You know,
Seattle had a chance. They blew it.
It's hard. You know, the commercial opportunities, the vacations, the laziness, the been there, done that mentality, I've already got it done. It starts to creep in on certain parts of your team, the selfishness, the getting away from focus.
Are you talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, no, I wasn't, but we can momentarily.
I think next segment we're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Really? A lot of the characteristics that you just mentioned, you know, kind of falls into the mold of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I'll save that until our next segment.
Well, you know, I don't mind talking about the Cavaliers, especially if I can say something bad.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.